Hilariously Melbourne. Fifi, Feb and Nick are brought to you by Burbank Homes. Find out about their big bonus promotion for title landholders and save up to 18K on your new home. Head to burbank.com.au. TNCs apply.
101, this is the Friday, we are doing the show live from Costello's Croydon Hotel.
Cannot wait. Heading out to where I grew up, Croydon. Well, I lived in Wonga Park or Jumping Creek Road, if people are familiar with the area, but the North Croydon shops were our local shops. And the Croydon, Costello's Croydon Hotel used to be area nightclub. So it was a nightclub when I was growing up, everyone wanted to go to. Like, my brothers went there when I'm about 4 years younger than my older brother. And I was like, oh, they're all going to area. I want to go there one day. And yesterday I was telling the story about the first time Mum let me go to area when I was about 17, but she drove me there. And then when she called into the show, she clarified.
So
she then stayed in the car outside for 2 hours.
That's pretty good.
When I came out at midnight, I reckon it was actually before midnight. And the funny thing was, I was ready to go. Like, I would have been in there looking at my watch going, come on.
Because you didn't drink.
Yeah, I just didn't. I didn't like anything about a nightclub. Yes. I didn't like the sleaze. I didn't like
all it would have taken was two gins or
bar and
vodkas.
Oh,
and then you would have been in there till stumps.
Still don't really like them. Never really like them. But there is something also that's quite memorable about the Croydon Hotel, but area for me. I had my first kiss. On Maroondah Highway, Croydon. And this could have been. I don't remember.
Well,
don't remember much
kiss
about it, but it was. It's a big step. That's a big moment for a, you know,
100%.
How old were you, 17? Teenager at the time, probably 17, 18.
And your first kiss?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's really cute. I reckon this song was out at the time too. So it was, do you know what's really funny? James Lake, our producer, he's gone and given me an aerial map.
I'm looking at it.
And he's also made it, you've got aerial map at the top, Google Street View at the bottom. I love it.
So if you look at that Google Street View, see the thirsty camel?
Yeah.
That's the drive-through that's in front of the hotel. That was there
thirsty
back
boxy
then too. And then just to the right of the thirsty camel, there's those big gum trees. Yeah. Under one of those gum trees. I remember we went for a walk.
At home among the gum trees. Now,
his name
give
was Andrew.
A kiss, please.
His name was Andrew.
A squeeze or two.
Wow.
It's not funny.
Funny thing was, I'll give you the backstory. You know this anyway, Fev. I've told you this over the years. My first crush was on Michael Gleeson.
Yes,
he was my neighbour. Loved Michael Gleeson.
Well,
really
we caught up
loved
with him, didn't we?
We did. We've actually had him on the show.
He's
he
in
now
America.
Lives in Florida, in the US.
Golf. Loves his golf.
Loves his golf.
Listen to the show.
He did. Yeah. We were chatting for a bit after that.
Who's this guy?
This guy was one of his friends.
What's his name?
I'm not going to say.
Come on.
Oh, his name was Andrew, but that's where I'm stopping
Andrew
it.
Andrew who?
That's it. Because you'll go and find him. So his name was Andrew, and he was one of Michael's friends. He was really handsome. He was one of the
this
guys.
This is made up, isn't it, Fev? He's really handsome. I can't give you a surname. It's when blokes come back from school holidays. No, I made out with this hot chick from New South Wales.
Well, someone would have gone to school with you. So
this,
if someone knows an Andrew, 13, 10, 16.
This takes people back to like the early 90s. So he was, it was about early 90s. He was he had like the Timberland boots on.
Mm.
And then he had a denim jacket with the fleece
double
line.
Double denim?
Yeah, line denim jacket. He was tall. He was handsome. And
just one pash?
We dated.
Oh, you dated?
Yeah, we'd been dating
that's
for
good.
A couple. It wasn't long. No.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we go. So I'll take you there on Friday.
Yeah.
My first kiss happened under a gum tree. And can you see how close it is to Maroondah Highway? Can you imagine all the cars whizzing past that night?
Mate, there's foxy underneath the gum 30, tree.
1060 though, let's go down memory lane. This is fun. If you're driving along or wherever you're listening to us right now, call in and tell us about your first kiss.
Where was yours, Nick?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Looch?
I don't remember. Yeah, it was Looch on our wedding day. I'm very religious. Nice to meet you all. No,
I can't remember.
Werribee or Hoppers? Yeah.
Isn't that a memorable memory? Fev, what about your first kiss?
I was grade six.
What?
I got married. I was like, I don't know, 12 or something.
Like that's 11. A pet kiss, though.
No, like a proper kiss on the. We got married. There was like a marriage. We had a big ceremony. Kate Taylor and Amy. She's married Dawson Jones now, ex footy player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was a great chick. We were like boyfriend girlfriend for a little bit.
That's
grade
cute.
Six.
Like,
that's nice.
Yeah, it was cool. Anyway.
I like it.
And
Nick,
then 13, I progressed.
No, what about? Yeah, it would have been grade six or year
grade
seven.
Grade six?
Yeah.
You guys are having proper pashes.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. What's wrong with you? You waited till 17, mate. 17. Yeah.
Ooh, You're the nerd.
Everything was ticked.
I went to a girls' school.
I got drafted at 17.
Yeah, that's a good. Okay. 13, 10, 60. Let's hear some first kiss stories. Monique in Oakley. Hi, Monique.
Hi, Fee, Pim, Fev.
Oh, Monique, g'day,
Monique.
Take us down memory lane. Where did you have your first kiss?
I think I was 15. We were at an underage club in Hawthorne. And I just had a kiss with some random guy on the dance floor for the first time. And I was so excited. So later, I went looking for my best friend to let her know that I, like, had my first kiss. And then I found her kissing the same guy.
Oh,
what a legend.
Oh, no.
And that man's name was Brendan Favola.
But that's what happened when you're that young.
Yeah, of course.
Everyone pashes everyone. It's
that's
all
how got
about
cult.
Trial and error.
Yeah, but you
that's
get
why,
heartbroken.
That's why I get cold sores.
What the male's got
no,
heartbroken.
You know, because I'm just saying, I reckon when I was a 15-year-old girl, you were loving hard. So Monique could have her first kiss with that guy and think they were going to get married. And then you go, oh, no, my friend's kissing him too. Oh.
I reckon I'll tell for every young kid listening, if you pass someone at 15, you are not marrying them.
Oh, dear, hang on a second. We've got Rebecca in Wonga Park. Now, this is my old suburb.
This could be the wife of.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Good.
Where are you in Wonga Park there, Rebecca?
Hartley Road.
Oh, yeah, Hartley, off Jumping Creek.
Rebecca, are you married to Andrew?
No.
No. Okay. No, I didn't have the pleasure of meeting Andrew.
Keep my husband's
name. What school did you go to, Rebecca?
Mount Lilydale.
Yes, okay. Yeah, nice. I think Leon. Leon, is that your school? Leon, DJ Sherg's our EP. That's his school.
Yeah, it was Lilydale, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you might have
Okay, that Rebecca, talk us through your first kiss.
My first kiss was also just on Maroondah Highway, just up the road in Ringwood at the ice skating rink.
Oh, I've been there. Nice.
Yes. Was it on the rink?
No, it was a little more creepy than that. It was just off the side near the players' room.
Were you at one of those like ice skating nights where you all get around and you skate around and do the limbo and stuff? Remember, like it was like a blue light, but you were on skates. Was it one of those nights?
There was a DJ.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. It was a Friday night. It was a cool place to be when you were 16.
Oh, and was it good? Was it a good memory, Beck?
Yeah, it is actually. It was good. He asked me permission, and I thought because it was my first kiss, I thought that was what you did. That you got asked permission if you could be kissed, but he was asked me permission if he could be my boyfriend, and I ended up accidentally going out with him.
Oh, I love that. Accidentally going out for how long, Beck?
I think maybe till the next ice skating session.
Oh, jeez.
Well done, Beck. Wonga Park, good memories.
I know you. I panicked because we both thought, oh no, this is someone who knows.
Oh, mate, I really wanted her to know who you passed so we could track it down. I'd love to know the anti-vaxxer.
Josiah.
Because, mine.
Yeah, because when you do kiss someone, it's saliva going into someone else's mouth. So it's like, that's a bit germy. And you're a German.
I got detention for my first kiss. I was only in kindergarten, so 5 years old.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, and
that's not a kiss.
Well, she went and dobbed me in, and yeah,
as
I got a detention for it.
She's four.
So you've been creeping since
kinder.
He's been creeping since kinder.
It was a beautiful moment. 101.9
The Fox. Nick. We're also the home of the show with the most Jameses in our team. Mm. So we've got an amazing off-air team. We're so lucky here on the Fifi Fever Nick show. We've got James Lake. We all know our newsreader. We've got James Blake, who is our senior producer out there, who is across all things OH&S. And we also have James Costa, our audio engineer to the stars, doing everything
Morning,
on this show. He's in the studio, James. one of the nicest guys in the building.
Thank you, mate.
Low and bar. Don't get ahead of yourself.
James, you are looking nervous, and we need to explain this to everybody. You've got something really wonderful's happened in your life. Can we share with everybody? I think you've broken it to all your family and friends. You're engaged to the beautiful Rach.
Yep.
You've bought a house.
We bought a house.
Look at you guys.
Are you going to have to break up with your loan now the interest rates have gone up?
Oh, no.
That's right, not ideal.
Yep.
But you'll be moving suburbs, and tell us what's happening in your life.
So, by far the most stressful thing about the move, which I wasn't expecting, is that every Saturday morning, my fiance Rachel and I, we go for a walk down to a beautiful cafe on the corner of Mount Alexander Road and Puckle Street, Six Points Cafe. Great food, great coffee. The barista team's an absolute legend. And we're going to have to stop going there. But we've developed a bit of a rapport with Tim, with the barista. Like, we were there a couple of weeks ago and he gave us some free juices and we're walking out and he goes, I'll see you guys next week. And Rachel, we were in Adelaide last weekend. So Rachel goes, we're actually in Adelaide next week. And he goes, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks then. And we're moving the Friday before that.
Oh.
So awesome. I didn't have the heart to say anything and she didn't either. But yeah. So
how far away are you moving?
You sort of got a break up. You're like breaking up.
Yeah.
With your cafe, your barista.
So we're moving from, she's in Essendon, from there to Gladstone Park. So it's probably about 15 minutes
out,
away.
Yeah.
I mean, you can
still drive there.
But
you could easily drive there.
When James said this and he was, you know, it's you've never broken up with anyone in your life, is this right?
I've never broken up with anyone.
So
I've
hairdressers.
She's been on the other, he's been on the
girls,
other side, have you?
Nah, I've been on the other side. That's all right.
A few times, yeah.
I prefer to wait it out.
Don't ask Fee for advice because she's never broken up with anyone either.
I'll cop two years of hating life before I'd break up with someone. Oh. They'll get around to it eventually.
They've still got five boyfriends in different countries that they still think are going out with her.
It's easy when they're overseas. You just fly away.
Yeah.
You could just move suburbs, but I like that you're feeling this guilt. And we thought, why don't we do it now? Are you okay?
Don't do that
to
him.
Let's call Tim at 6 Points Cafe there in Moonee Ponds. And this will be like really cathartic in on the radio.
God, I hope he says.
I hope he answers.
Hang on,
who is James?
Let's call.
Oh, James. Please say that.
Why don't you do it? Because you know what? We'll be here for you and we'll help you through this process, okay?
Thank you.
I think you'll be fine with this.
Do you have any free coffees waiting on a card or something there? Because I'm only a few blocks away. I'll go in just take them on another day when Tim's not there.
I think we just swap James for you. We'll just give Tim you.
I've got a cafe near my joint.
Oh, okay.
Can't break up with them.
Can't cheat on them.
Okay, let's call the number. We're calling the wonderful 6 Points Cafe in Moonee Ponds. James Local Cafe.
It's ringing now.
Oh, here we go. James, are you going to take the lead?
He has to.
You have to.
No, you dick.
Off you go.
Someone's got to make noise on the radio.
Good morning, 6 Points. This is Tim.
Hi, Tim. It's James Costa. I'm one of your regulars on Saturday morning, me and my partner, Rachel.
I recognise the voice, my man.
So they've just pulled me on air because Rachel and I are moving suburbs and we're not going to be in that much anymore. And I haven't had the heart to tell you so far because you're such a legend.
Oh no.
Yeah.
But you know, they've asked me to break up with you on air. So,
oh no.
Mate, I'm so sorry. It's not you, it's me. I'm moving and I feel
shattered.
Awful about it.
Can we do a long-term relationship?
A long-distance relationship. I reckon I can. I can come and get some...
long-distance and long-term, mate.
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to. If we can make it work, I'd love to make it work.
We can make it work, mate, you know.
Now, Tim, it's Fev here from Fifi, Fev and Nick. Now, he's only moving 15 minutes away. I feel that he could still come to your cafe.
You could ride a bike.
It's not that far.
Dude, easy. Yeah, I've got people who cross town for us, so...
I think this is on you, James. No. I think you can still go there, mate.
Tim, how...
James has got a side cafe in Gladstone Park.
Yeah, 7 Points, yeah.
Tim, James and Rach, they love you, and in actual fact, why wouldn't everybody? And a big plug for 6 Points Cafe there in Moonee Ponds. Get along and see Tim, because James has been so concerned about this, and... as we just said, he's never broken up with anyone. How did his breakup go? Because he took a lot of courage to do that. How would you rate it?
I think it went well. I think it went well, you know.
There you go.
Well, not really. He's still a customer, so I don't think he's...
Yeah, yeah.
He obviously hasn't made that much of an impression because by the sounds of the music on, it's not Fifi Feather Nick in the background.
Should be hearing
I didn't want the feedback though, guys.
Geez, you're good. He's good on his...
He knows James the audio legend.
Okay, so it's ended nicely. I mean, James, there is an expectation you still go in every Saturday.
I think you should, yeah.
Yeah. If you're only 15 minutes away, I just had another couple tell me they're moving down to Geelong and they're sad that I can't follow them, so...
Well, that's
fair. That's more of an excuse than 15 minutes away.
Okay, he hasn't bought it. James, you're still in.
I guess that's it. I guess
I've got no choice. You go back.
You can do it fortnightly.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I'm going to have to, yeah. I reckon. Yeah.
The next brekkie will taste great after a breakup.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, you know where to come.
Yeah.
Hey, Timmy, what's your number one dish for a breakfast? Because I'm thinking about, I love a Saturday breakfast. What's your number one?
I don't know. Our two popular ones really are the Avo Toast and the Fritters, but I think they're all bangers. It's quite a restricted menu that we've put on here that I've curated. So, yeah, it's all like greatest hits type of thing.
Well done.
Right. Love it. Well, now that Fev's crossing town from Hampton, you're in all sorts, James. You've got to go.
Popping the other way to the airport.
Yeah, we're on that. So, yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
Well done, Timmy.
There we go. Thank you, Tim. And good breakup. James,
probably
you gave it a crack.
Pretty unsuccessful breakup. I'll probably be there this Saturday.
101.9 The Fox.
Yesterday afternoon, the fam was out. I'm sitting at home. I'm having a scroll through Instagram and I come across our good mate, Tommy Little. Tommy Little's there on his Insta. He's shirtless next to the one and only Mac Horton.
Oh, swimmers.
Olympic swimmer. Unbelievable. They're disgusting.
The way I said that was weird. I don't even know why I did it like that.
Swimmers.
I take that back.
You like swimmers?
I don't know.
They're bloody fit. Both of them are looking very, very
little
well.
Little swimmers.
And Tommy, the caption on Tommy's post, says, Mac and me trying to work out how many medals we have between us. We realise that together we have an Olympic gold, a World Champs gold, 3 Com Games golds, and a Most Improved certificate from under 16's mixed netty. Very good joke. Love it, Tommy. But it did open with something that I couldn't cop, which was Mac and me trying to work out. So underneath, I wrote what I write under, most of these things. Mac and I. Just a little correction there. I know you're both looking good.
Grammar people.
Well, honestly, if I cop grief online from people, it is guaranteed that they're going to use the wrong there or the wrong your. And it'll be you're a comedian, ? And I'll always put the right your underneath and just leave that. That'll go off.
Instant block? Oh, well,
he hasn't blocked me.
No, grammar police. I get it all the time on Twitter.
A lot of people liking it. But a few people have said, somebody, House of Hard Nut, which is where I'd always go, English, you're actually incorrect. The way to determine whether the sentence should contain I or me is to remove the other person's name and see if it still makes sense. I don't think that's how it works.
No, I don't think it does because I think you're right. I think it is Mac and I.
James Blake, though, I went to our, as Fev would say, team nerd. John, what did you say, James Blake?
Well, I deferred to my primary school teacher mother who said, if you remove the other person, does the sentence still make sense? That's her rule.
Can I give you an example
that's
of that,
cool.
though?
That's cool. When you're teaching very little children, I suppose that's fine.
But here's the thing. If I said, Fev and I went to the shops, take out Fev, I went to the shops, it still works.
No, but that's where it makes Fev sense. So they're saying you could put Fev and me, if the word after that was trying, Fev and me trying to figure out how many golds, if you took out Fev, me trying to figure out how many golds, I know Fev, this is excruciating.
Fev, me and I'm out of here.
I keep saying your name to keep you in.
Fev and I just left.
Yeah. Okay, well look, let's, Nick, look at this. To get to the bottom of this, we are joined.
Sorry, yesterday I had to have an ECG. One of the things the doctor said was, have you been stressed recently? I said, yeah, a little bit. Coffee, booze, stress, the three things that would require an ECG. And my wife last night, I'm walking around the house yelling about this. And she said, you've just had your heart checked and you're going people on the internet about grammar. I just have to find out if I'm correct. I'm happy to be wrong. Well, not really, but I've slept on it.
Okay.
Am I correct?
So have you said me and the doctor did an ECG or the doctor and I?
And an ECG.
The
definitely doctor and I. Definitely not bringing the doctor. Yeah. But we are joined by Dr. James Walker, Professor of Language Diversity at La Trobe University. Dr. James Walker, thank you for joining us.
No worries. Good morning.
Oh, so now Nick's going to talk you through this, Dr. Walker. Hopefully you can give us the answer.
Sure.
Now, Dr. Walker, I just want to know, my friend has started the caption of his photo with another person and it says, Mac and me trying to work out how many medals we have between us. I just wrote underneath Mac and I. I thought you put Mac and I don't think you ever put Mac and me in a sentence.
Well, there's a lot of confusion in these X and Y constructions when you've got a pronoun because, especially nowadays when you've got, after like a verb, like, I was with Mac and me, a lot of people would say, I was with Mac and I, which is not really correct either. So I think the guide is to look at, what would happen as I think, is it Fiv was saying,
are you a professor of what? Language? Yeah,
not football.
Hey, it's pre-coffee for me, okay? take off the other person and see if it works.
Oh.
So Mac and me trying. So would I trying to look?
No.
Would that look good? That sound good? No, because part of the problem here is because the verb there is in a participle form, not in a tensed form. So you could say like Mac and I went,
yep.
You know, that would be fine.
Would you ever say me and Mac?
Well, there's a question of, again, it's is it before a participle or is it before a tense
verb? I think it's
verb?
Before a party hits. Is that what you said? A party hits?
Trying.
Oh.
Trying as opposed to tried, right? So Mac and me tried would sound a bit odd, but Mac and me trying sounds fine. Me trying sounds fine, but me tried would sound odd.
Yeah, I agree. So, I love that. Oh,
I
really tried to be part of this, but me out.
Yeah.
That's so I think
turns out me was wrong.
So you are, Dr. Walker, that's it.
So Nick's
Nick,
wrong.
You were wrong.
Oh, no, wow. I'm
unlucky.
Jeez.
How does that feel? How's the heart?
Huh? Not as good as Mac or Tommy's. Very different rigs. I should work on swimming.
Well, James, you have made my day. He's
that,
finally
that
wrong.
Was great.
With something to do with grammar.
Good to know.
Well done, Walks.
Okay.
Thank you,
have
Dr.
Fun,
James.
No worries. Thanks.
Oh, that's
the man.
I won't stand down. I'll never put a name and me in a sentence.
No,
ridiculous.
I'm with you.
Melbourne's 101.9 The Fox.
Now, yesterday after the show, after our meeting, guys, you both had left. And I was on the couch and we were having a chat, the whole team here, and then Leon just got up and walked away. And it was really strange. And I was like, where's he gone? Anyway, when he came back, he said he just had his flu injection. So here in the office, a nurse was brought in to help any staff that wanted a flu injection. A wonderful initiative.
Get the jab.
He got the jab. Then Renee said, oh, I'm up next because it's 10:15. So I've got a 10:15 appointment. And I got a little bit of flu vax envy. And I'm like, can I get one of these? Like, I'd love one of these. And then anyway, Renee came back from her jab. And she said, look, just go down there. There's no queue. Like you can just walk in. It's like a woman, the nurse is in a meeting room and you walk in. And I said, really? Okay. Well, why not get my flu jab?
You've got to get past the protester, Josiah. But then once you get past him.
You love this. I said, Josiah, want to come and get one with me?
No.
So anyway, I've gone down there.
Respect.
And the nurse said, come in. So anyway, they shut the door and you're in there. And Renee was waiting outside for me just to check that I was okay. And then the nurse said to me, oh, what time was your appointment? What's your name? And she said, I don't have your name here. And I said, I've just walked in. Is that okay? She said, oh, okay. Well, I have to do a manual form for you though. So she got out a manual form. I had to fill it all out. And then she said, I need your Medicare number. I said, oh, you won't believe this. I don't have it, but it's on my phone. And then I opened my phone, but because I've got a new phone last week.
It's not in there.
I hadn't downloaded the new Medicare app. So this took about close to 10 minutes to download the app.
A whole appointment's worth.
The whole appointment.
Somebody else could be protected from the flu.
Long and the short of it is, got my jab. She did a brilliant jab.
Is
one of those
sore?
Jabs where you don't, it's a bit sore. Like last night on the couch, I was like, Trix, don't
I love a
on
good
it.
Jab.
But the only thing is, she did it so well, though. It was one of those ones you don't feel.
Yeah.
How do they get that
That's not
so
a good jab.
Right? Oh, anyway, by the time I came out, and it may have been close to the, I don't know, 15-minute mark, there are about 12 people waiting. And these people had appointments.
Yeah.
So I've completely, I didn't even realise this, but what's happened is I've jumped the queue because I didn't have an appointment. Mm-hmm. I just walked in.
Yeah.
And I created chaos in the office afterwards.
But that's that's on the nurse. Just let you.
She shouldn't have said.
Just jab you and walk out. Who cares about your Medicare card?
I know. It was all a bit much. And
I just jab you and go on your way.
Well, see, but
you
I
created
did feel
demand,
bad.
I think. Then a queue started. Everyone I reckon like, half of those people just thought it was the toilet. Now all of a sudden they got a flu jab.
Like, yeah. Boxes in there. I don't get the flu jab.
You don't get it? Oh, it could every now and then. It's not bad. Is it flu season's going to be a bit nasty?
Yeah, I know, but if you get crook,
year.
You get crook. It is.
Bill Gates has said COVID. Yeah. He thinks that could get worse. But, no, the thing about the flu is, let's be honest, most people haven't necessarily had the real flu. A head cold is a head, and when people go, I've got flu symptoms, the real flu knocks you. You're like in bed for weeks. Yeah. It's awful. I've had it once when I was about 15. It was awful. So I don't want that. But what I really don't like queues. I'm someone that's really, I'm one of those queue, like,
avoiders.
No, I was going to say a word that I think might have been cancelled.
Say it.
Like,
I'll
you know,
tell
the soup Nazi on Seinfeld. I'm a bit of a queue Nazi.
Yeah.
I just feel like, if I see somebody, you know, when you, like, for instance, where was I recently? Feb, when we went to the Unicorn Festival at Docklands.
Those lines are
you'd
awful.
Be in these massive lines.
No.
And then, and we were even, Feb and I, we were in one of the queues for about 45 minutes.
A long time.
And you'd be counting the kids in front of you going, okay, well, there's 14 kids, so we're nearly there. And then one of those parents suddenly would let in one of their family friends with about 10 kids.
Nah,
and you're like,
kick off.
Or a three-seater ride, one kid gets on. And I was like, oh, God, we're two rides away now.
Queues.
Getting so frustrated.
See, queues create chaos. I'll never forget at, actually, this is not just queues, this is saving seats.
Disneyland?
Back when I was about 14, Mum took us to SeaWorld Nara Resort on the Gold Coast. And you could go in to watch the dolphin movie or exhibition. And it was like a cinema, and a woman had the queue. You're already lined up for like half an hour or more in the sun, in the heat. And we got in there, and a woman had put about 10 bags over 10 seats in a row.
Oh,
and my mum, because Pearl does.
This is going to be great. Moved them all?
I had a go at the woman and said, no, you can't save
those
seats.
Pearl.
Yeah, she's good. She's always handy in these situations.
But if you went to a queue, just say going to the grand final, AFL members to get in, right, and you stay overnight, but you put like, say, I don't know, three other seats there for your brother, Daisy and Trixie, right?
Yeah.
And you stay there by yourself, can they come in the morning and come with you?
There's a tricky one.
If you're there by, if you've done the time.
I think kids is understandable. Yep. I think if you see kids pop into the queue in front, you go, well, that's fair enough.
Mm.
Oh, I don't know. 13 10 60. Let's open the phones.
Queue etiquette.
Queue etiquette. Queue blues. Have you had a blue over a queue? Because I think you can get,
100%.
When you've been waiting a long time and somebody jumps in or issues can happen in queues.
I was at a music festival. This must have been 10 years ago. And there were two lines for the drinks, huge. And I saw three registers. So I just walked past the entire queue, went straight to the register, ordered the drinks. And the guy said, I was waiting for someone to do it. People are yelling at me, but people just see a line and join the line.
So you know what I would have done in that situation? I know, I can be a bit of a sheep, but I would have said to the people in front of me, why don't you go, because you've been waiting longer, you should go up and then I'll sneak in behind you.
I go, you're all idiots, and I moonwalk past them all.
Gabby from Port Melbourne. Hi, Gabby.
Hi, guys. Morning.
Morning, Gabs. Gabby. Have you had an incident in a queue?
Yeah, it's not so much a queue like, you know, to line up somewhere. It was more like a car park queue etiquette.
Oh, yeah.
My family and I, we were off at the winter night market at Queen Market. This is pre-COVID.
Yeah.
So everyone was out and about. And my dad had been driving around for about 45 minutes to find a car park. About to give it up. And we found one, but this lady's kind of standing in the car park, saving it for someone else.
No.
Yeah, and my
dad's permission
like, you
to
know,
just drive forward.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that, but I didn't know if I was allowed to.
No, you can say that. We're all thinking it, and you're correct.
My dad was, kind of, you know, slowly getting in the car park with the car, and she wasn't moving, standing in her ground.
What happened?
Then, yeah, got a bit vocal as well because my dad's got a bit of a temper when things don't go his way.
And yeah, when people are horrible humans standing in car parks.
Yeah. but my dad ended up pushing her out with the car. And it was just very awkward when we all get
I wouldn't have said that, Gabby.
When you say pushing her out with a car, do you mean hit her with the car?
No. As in, like, as my dad's going in the car park, she's obviously stepping more and more back because she's going to get hit by the car.
He just nudged her.
Yeah.
No, not even nudge.
Yeah, just kept going. Just I love your dad, Gabby.
Hand down on the horn.
Yeah. Just a bit awkward, though, when we got out the car and she's just standing there and we're all just standing there and...
Do you know what I worry about, Gabby? I don't know whether you your dad felt this. Anytime I've had a bit of argy-bargy, and it's usually just stairs with a car and you're fighting over a car park, I always worry they're going to key your car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's why I go, is it worth it? Because they're so angry that if I get this car park, they're not letting my car my car's going down.
I hate that when people park in, like, the supermarket or the Southland and... That's a pram car park for parents?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you see them go in with no kids?
No, but the kids might be in there.
No.
I've done that before.
I've watched.
You've got to have baby seats and
prams, and they get in there and they get out, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but my mum, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this. I don't think she
you
parks
do that.
In them.
Yeah, of course you would.
It's not
my mum parks in them, but she does.
Hang on.
She has said in the past, though, but back in the 70s and 80s, they didn't have those. So mum's doing a bit of, I had to walk with the pram. Why are you not having to walk?
Oh, a bit of retroactive. I'm getting it back.
Yeah, she's going back when I was with babies.
Wow.
We didn't get these up the front car spaces.
That's why I smoke in hospitals. No, I missed out. My grandpa used to be able to.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Now, a full list of everything we need to moderate or take out of our kids' lunch boxes has been released by the Cancer Council, who do an incredible job. And it's so important that we're aware of, and particularly we're educating our kids and we as parents are aware of what not to and what to put in our kids' lunch boxes. Now, they have come out and said the things on the no-go zone are muesli bars. What? Ham sandwiches. Now, that's a processed meat thing. So processed
meats. What's muesli bars then? Sugar maybe.
Chocolate,
sugar.
Probably. Oh, I think.
Wrappers, maybe.
I can answer this by saying. So they've said avoid muesli bars, avoid muffins, avoid savoury biscuits, avoid sweet biscuits.
You've just described
everything.
Every lunch I had from prep to year 12.
Yeah. And I know. Right.
And what they're suggesting as an alternative. Is make your own. And this is my problem.
How about their alternative? Why don't they make it?
Homemade muesli bars. Homemade muffins. And here's
homemade
the thing,
muesli bar.
And I don't know whether other parents can relate, but when I'm like all cogs are firing, I'm just on fire as a parent, as a person, everything's working, washing's done. No, because it happens like once every 6 months. Mm. So I go, I must have had an early night and I've had a sleep in on a Sunday morning and I can now function and I'm making the muffins.
Emptying the dishwasher while the washing's on and it finishes as you've emptied the dishwasher and you're like, we are on.
But then let's be honest, and I will say this, most weeks I'm like, why are those grapes rotting in the fridge? Oh, because I bought them a week and a half ago. Is that the last time I went to the supermarket?
Cold sultanas, kids.
It gets on top of you. And this is my only thing. I love this list. I love that they're taking out all those snacks. But I just don't think it lives in reality, this list.
No.
Because it's very hard to make homemade muesli bars, homemade muffins, homemade Madonna bread all the time.
Of course.
Working parents can't do that.
I just reckon they stay out of it. They do a great job.
Oh, you want the Cancer Council to stay out of it?
Stay
out of the lunchbox. I don't have to worry about it because it's an Alex thing because I'm at work. So.
Do you ever do it the night? I do mine the night before.
We struggle to worry about what's for dinner. No, Alex does in the morning. I think she just goes online, orders a lunch order. And then that's it.
I do mine the night before, and there's nothing more frustrating when I think I've really nailed a lunch from a health perspective. And I'm doing like hummus in a little container, and I cut up the celery and carrots.
Right.
And I will do my lunch at night and go, I have nailed that. Oh, that is very good parenting.
Then you eat it?
And then No.
My kids
will
be trying to trade that at school.
Then I have a Cadbury cream egg on the way to bed.
Yeah.
And then she comes home the next day from school. First thing I do when walking the door, I open a school bag and I empty the lunchbox. And there's all my carrots, yeah, cucumbers, and hummus.
Who's eating that at school?
Well, yeah, Charlie. Charlie,
you picked on eating that stuff.
Well, that's the point. It's like, I did the right thing and she didn't eat it.
Mate, if I saw a kid eating that at school, I would have knocked it over.
No, see, that's
so
why.
Get a chocolate bar in your guts.
I told Luch, that's why Charlie has to learn jujitsu and boxing. Yeah. You learn how to fight and then you can eat whatever you want for lunch. Yeah.
Hilariously Melbourne. Bev and Nick are the team you can trust to keep you laughing on your drive to work. And Burbank Homes are the national builder you can trust. Search Burbank Homes today. 101.9